John chapter 10. Bible says, verily, verily. When you see a verily, verily, pay attention, that means. Sit up and pay attention, that means, again. And again, there's some verily, verilies that we need to rehearse more regularly. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Father, praise you and thank you for a shepherd. Father, I pray again that you just burn that into our minds on this day. May it change our week. May it change our walk. Father, may we again just worship today a little different, because we have a shepherd and we shall not want. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated as we look at this portion of Scripture. There's like 30 directions I want to go with this, and I'll try to focus and keep it straight. But one of them is certainly the fact that we've been working through 1 and 2 Peter in our studies, and we've gotten up to 2 Peter chapter 2, looking at false teachers. And I think I've already taught on the false teachers, the fact that their demise, their destruction, their judgment is coming swiftly. And I think of someone like Adam Schiff, and I don't think it's coming swiftly enough, okay? I look at some of the things that's going on in politics, and I'm thinking, he said this judgment for false teachers and purveyors of falsehood, is judgment is swift, and it's coming quickly. And he emphasizes that like three times. And understand this, that in God's timetable, it is coming swift.
Right.
And it is coming for sure. And again, remember the disciples? I'm going to wander around here this morning and have a good time. Remember the disciples when they were going with Jesus through Samaria, and Samaritans didn't want them to stay there? Remember what the disciples said? Let's call down fire from heaven, they said, and destroy these people. And been there, okay, again, and understand that, boy, sometimes we're looking for God's judgment and forgetting that we have tasted of God's compassion.
Yeah, that's right.
And that we have tasted of God's long-suffering, even in our own lives, even since we've been saved. You think about how long-suffering God has been to your sorry soul. And again, understand that we are to have the compassion of Christ, even when we're looking at false teachers. And so notice here, I like to look at that. Back in Peter's day, I like to look at Peter's attitude towards false teachers. And I like to look at this chapter and Jesus' attitude towards false teachers and things that we can learn about false teachers. And notice that right off is that false teachers, by just the text we just read, should not be readily followed by a believer. You should not recognize their voice, and you should recognize, hey, that's the wrong voice to go following. And so here we're given a charge again about some things about false teachers and the thieves, and the difference between the good shepherd and the hireling. As I'm looking again at Baptist churches right here in our area, one's a community church, but boy, there's some churches that need a pastor right now, are looking for a pastor. Pastors are leaving New York, and very frankly, I don't blame them, okay? I've been out in Ohio, and boy, it's like a spiritual awakening. And then I come back to New York, and it's like a spiritual desert around here. But just the same, again, we're called again to be servants. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to be salt of the earth. And here, notice again that this good shepherd is with us here and is an example of what we are to be. Anyway, so many churches right around here looking for pastors. I'm as we're working through Peter, think about what is Peter of all people would be the person to ask, what's the duties of a pastor? Peter, lovest thou me? And his response was, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And so we want to look a little bit at sheep here. And one of my first points I like to point out, especially as I go and pulpit fill in other churches, that people need a pastor. People need someone that will feed the sheep. And the primary duty of a pastor is given here is to feed sheep and to be a pastor. And so you can read down through the 23rd Psalm with an idea of, again, what's the role of a pastor? He's to be a shepherd. And again, sometimes we just don't live up to that expectation that God has on pastors. And so again, we have sheep here in our county and in our area that need a pastor right now and are hurting and longing for that. And so let's look for a moment at this good shepherd. Look at the first occurrence of that. I think it's there. Well, look at verse 7. I am the door. I am the door, verse 9. I am the good shepherd. And so as we consider the I ams, understand that there's a word. Remember Popeye the Sailor Man? He said, I yam that I yam again. And I thought he was selling yams, but he wasn't. He was selling spinach. Anyway, when you say the I am in the Bible, I want you to recognize you're using all of the same consonants, and Hebrew only has consonants, and so you're using all the same consonants in that little phrase, I am, that is in the name that we call Jehovah, the name of God. And if you want to find that in your Bible, it's only listed like four times in your Bible, but every time you see all caps on a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, I want you to know that that's the personal name of Jehovah. And just think about this. It rhymes with the phrase, I am in Hebrew. And so when Jesus said, I am, I want you to know that that is so close. I took a Hebrew reading class, and when we're reading in Hebrew, every time someone would read the name of God out of the Bible in Hebrew in the Old Testament, the instructor would stop everybody and say, stop, stop, stop. You're not supposed to pronounce that name. Do not pronounce that name. Instead, you substitute the word Lord in there, Adonai. And so you had to learn as you were reading together in the Hebrew class that you would every time you find the name Jehovah, you do not pronounce that. And so it was not pronounced at all. But when Jesus said, I am, I want you to know that all the Hebrews in the room stopped and said, hey, you're not supposed to say that again. You're not supposed to pronounce that phrase. Because it is so close, again, to the personal name of God. Boy, I hope that affects you and that you'll understand the I ams of the Bible. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. And every time he said that, boy, the hairs on the back of them Pharisees just stood up. And they hated that. And we ought to love it all the more because of that. I am the door. And so look, and again, we heard yesterday again that I am the way. I am the truth. I had my nephew preach that portion of scripture for me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And I am the way was an emphasis, that there is no other way. There's one mediator between God and man, even the man Christ Jesus. And you can't use Mary as your mediator. You can't pray to some statue and have a mediator. You can't receive Christ by putting a wafer on your tongue. And boy, the things that we rehearsed yesterday was just precious to recognize again that I am the way. And here we have I am the door. But let's look at verse 11 again. I am the good shepherd. And then it says the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Turn with me if you would. Hold your place here in Psalms. We're not nearly done. Or in John. And turn back with me to Psalms. And chapter 22, and just to make sure we're familiar with it, make sure we've got a few verses, phrases underlined in that precious psalm. Of course, the 23rd psalm, we all know. And I want that as a believer, you'd know as much about the 22nd psalm as you do about the 23rd psalm, and as much about the 24th psalm as you do the 23rd Psalm. Psalms chapter 22. I hope you have some sections highlighted here. And my Bible, again, is my old Scofield Bible. And I've gone through in every place it's talking about the first coming of Christ. It's highlighted in blue. Every time it's talking about the second coming of Christ, it's highlighted in purple. Let me just read you a couple blue sections here out of Psalms chapter 22. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Verse 7 says, all that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. Verse 16, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. The good shepherd, says in John 10, giveth his life for his sheep. And he gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Someone tell me what that says. Right in the middle of the Romans road. You can't start in the middle. You got to go back to Romans 3 or something. Huh? Okay, that's Romans 6, right? Or this. Yeah, there you go. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so as we look again at that, even walking through that Romans road, and it's so precious again to examine what he did to save the likes of you. Again, that we could have a substitutionary death for your sin, for your condemnation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Don't stop there. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you want out from under condemnation,
Jesus said it in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto ye, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, everlasting life, I think it says, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Listen, it's because of the Good Shepherd here that we are not under condemnation. It is that Good Shepherd that caused, again, that you could be set free from condemnation, set free from sin, and set free from the penalty of sin, set free from the power of sin. In this life, you are now free from the power of sin. There used to be a holiness movement around here that thought they were perfect and sinless. I think it was Finney that started some of that, or battled some of that. I forgot which it was. There was a church right over here in Ithaca that split wide open because of that. With Brother Calabretta, went to Texas, said, "That's enough in New York, I'm leaving here." Again, I probably don't blame him that much. Except that my roots are here. But listen, we're not going to be perfect. But listen, you have power over sin. You have it's a decision that you make, again, that you're going to sin. And if you think, "Well, I just stumbled into it," listen, you ask God, He'll bring you a consciousness of sin. You talk to the Holy Spirit in the morning and tell Him, ask Him again to show you your sins. He will. If you ask God to search your heart, He'll search your heart. And so, again, we're free over the power of sin. Listen, praise the Lord. When we get over to that 24th Psalm and look at who is the Lord of hosts? Who is the King of glory? Is that what it says? Who is the King of glory? Listen, understand that He's coming back as a King. And someday we're going to be set free from the very presence of sin. Hallelujah. And so we have this Good Shepherd given here. And again, I want to emphasize in the next 5 minutes I got that we understand that this Good Shepherd purchased our soul salvation. And then afterwards, we follow Him. And we follow His direction. We follow His leading. Remember, the Holy Spirit of God is given there in the Gospel of John. When Jesus covers again all the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. It is that He's going to lead us into truth. And I've often wrestled with a couple things. I guess I've talked about these in the past. Here I've wrestled with Harold Camping as we're looking at false teachers. I've listened to Harold Camping quite extensively. I've listened to his salvation testimony. He was a hard five-point Calvinist and thinks he was saved because God chose him before the foundation of the earth. But he was a false teacher. And again, I don't know exactly what to do. I don't know how to categorize false teachers. You ought to be glad that your pastor's not the one in charge of figuring out who gets into heaven and who doesn't. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that you're not in charge of that too, praise the Lord. Because it's like the wind that bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you're not really sure, again, and don't pretend that we are. And so again, here we see that false teachers, again, come in different categories that we looked at there in 2 Peter, and we'll examine them again when I get back on track. But right here, notice again that we have this assurance that a false teacher is not one that we will follow. And a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian that has the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in them, that has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them, has God the Father dwelling in him. All of the Trinity, the Bible says, is inside of us when we're saved. And we are now the tabernacle of God. So he tabernacles in us. Bible's quite clear over and over again that we'll not go trailing off after false teachers. Right. That he won't let us do that. And there is an ability to quench the Spirit. There is an ability to grieve the Holy Spirit. After he's kicked you in the gut long enough, he'll eventually kick you in the teeth, I think, sometime, to recognize again you're not to be following them. But boy, there are some stiff-necked Christians. And so you may think of someone again that's following after false teachers, and you thought they were saved all this time. And listen, they might very well be. I heard a preacher give the salvation testimony of Elvis Presley. And he was quite emphatic that he grilled Elvis alone on an elevator in Chicago one night. And and was sure that Elvis was saved. He knew, but boy, he grit his teeth and he went off into the most debased sin that a guy could go to. And not really. You could get into much worse sin than he did. And so again, understand that for a Christian, again, we have a Holy Spirit of God. We have an unction from God inside of us to keep us on a straight and narrow path. And to keep our heart and mind straight as long as we are in the vine and abide in the vine. As long as our mind is stayed on Him, He'll be our guardian. But it is possible, again, for a Christian to just grit their teeth and go headlong against the God that saved them. And there again, God will deal with them. And it's not your job to deal with them. Praise the Lord. It's not your job to call down fire from heaven and consume them. And so here we have this idea of a false teacher. And notice what it says again. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Remember when we started on 2 Peter there, the first thing that was given as a challenge, three parts to that first challenge was, first off, are you real? Are you truly a born-again Christian? And he has some things there for examining. And secondly, are you growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? This week I've seen a lot of Christians that I believe are in Christ, but they're off in some apostate church with a rock band and or they're listening to a TV evangelist that's asking for their money, and boy, I don't see any growth in them. And again, Peter says again that if you're gonna be a Christian, what did Jesus say about a disciple? I think it's John 8. Then they that believed on Him, it says, and Jesus said, if you are my disciples indeed, continue in my word. You'll continue in His Word. And listen, I want to stress the importance of just continuing in the Word of God. Amen. And keeping it in your life. And so here, notice again, and in 2 Peter there, where we've done that outline, that first off, is it real? Are you sincere? Are you a believer, even as Peter was? Secondly, you need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to grow in the knowledge of God. You need to grow and know Him. And notice that's the emphasis here. It says there again, and know my sheep. I know my sheep. Boy, it's good to be known of Him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Except I'm found wanting too many times. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why does He do that? For His name's sake. And so again, there's just things again that we need to understand, that He knows us as our shepherd, and we're to know Him and are known of mine. And am known of mine, it says there. And so the third thing that Peter emphasized again for staying away from false teachers and recognizing false teachers was that you add to your faith. And what do you add to your faith? Then we memorize the list. I know it starts with virtue again and ends with charity again. So there's a list of things there that we've got to keep adding to our faith. This is my son preached last week, and I got all excited because he figured out the same thing I figured out a long time. I'm slow again, and it's praise the Lord my son got it faster than I did. That the word believe and the word belief and the word faith are the same thing. In the Greek, when I didn't figure it out until I took Greek, it said, wow, look, they're the same word. One's a verb and one's a noun. And so when we have faith, that's a noun. And if we are using our faith, then we're practicing our beliefs. And that's the verb again. And so notice here again that our faith must increase in that list of things to add to your faith. Our faith will increase. And how does our faith increase? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to be in the Word. And so Peter goes on there in his explanation in 2 Peter that to stay away from false teachers, you need to first know that you're saved. Secondly, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Get to know Him. Thirdly, that you would add to your faith. And He gives a whole recipe of things to add to your faith. And fourthly, that, hey, we have not followed vain fables, but we followed the very words of God. And so make sure you're getting the very words of God. And if you're stuck in the horrible language of English, then understand this, that there's only one Bible that has all the words of God and presented as the Word of God. There's only one Bible where its translators believed that this was the inerrant, infallible, inspired Amen. Word of God. Amen. And so that's the King James Bible. Any of the modernist Bibles, they said, hey, we've lost the inspired Bible. There's no such thing as an inspired Bible. Every one of them. Carte Blanche said that. I've got several Baptist theology books that says, hey, we don't have a copy of the inspired Word of God. Only the original manuscripts are the inspired words. But we're going to fix that. We're going to tell you what God meant to say. And they'll give you a copyright stamp or a modern Bible. So again, understand this, that we need to grow, and we need to again be pursuing. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Look at verse 16 one more time. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. There's a verse in dispensationalism right here. Understand, he's talking to a bunch of Jews. But understand, there's going to be sheep that are added that are not of this fold. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about us Gentiles. Boy, we have to make that distinction. We have to understand what a beautiful part this is of this Good Shepherd poetry. And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. Well, you watch that theme unfold throughout the Bible, where there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no male, there's no female, there's no bond, there's no free. We are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true unity. When you look again at the fact that there's going to be a salvation gift to Israel after the church is pulled out, but right now in the church, Jew and Gentile, we're all one and there is no difference. I've taught here a little bit about the hyper-dispensationalists who think there's a church of the Jews and the church of Paul. Again, there's a Gentile church and there's a Jewish church. There's a word for that. It's called this like balderdash, okay? So again, understand that the Bible is clear here that we're all one fold in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are one. Praise the Lord. And so I wish I could go on and finish some of this, but again, understand this, that there's much here to be about the Good Shepherd. And again, there's things here that deal with false teachers that fits right into our series that we're doing out of 2 Peter. And we'll get back to that series as we again finish up the book of 2 Peter. But right here, I just wanted to talk about the Good Shepherd that you have. Amen. And let's worship Him, let's rejoice in Him, and let's walk with Him and rejoice again that we have a Good Shepherd. Turn back in Psalms one more time, just for a safety measure this is. And then we're going to stand and we're going to close our service by reciting together the 23rd Psalm. Okay, I'd have made you do it without your Bibles, but I always leave a phrase or two out myself, and so we'll not do that. If you got your Bibles open, let's stand and let's recite that precious, precious psalm about our Shepherd. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil,
for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
What a precious promise we have from God's Word. If you'll allow me, look at the first verse of Psalms 24 and understand that He's coming back for us. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He's coming back as King of Kings. Father, praise you and thank you for what we've looked at here in your word, and I thank you for the precious promises. Thank you especially for a shepherd. Go with us now into this week and we'll give you praise. Touch our hearts that we could again just serve you, love you, and walk with you as our shepherd. May we walk without want. May we again walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We'll praise you and thank you for the eternal life you've given us. But Father, for the walk that you've given us, I pray that you'd help and bless and give us a zeal for you in this new week. We begin in worship of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's do one more song. It's probably in our book. I have no idea. But let's go ahead and sing. There is a name I love to hear. Oh, how I love Jesus. If someone finds a number, just yell it out. There is a name I love to hear. I love to say His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, found it in the book, so we're going to depart from the book and sing.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, because He first loved me.
Praise the Lord. As we depart, make sure you welcome the Blisses here. It's good to have them, and I'm going to ask Brother Phil Bliss if you'd go ahead and dismiss us in prayer.
Dearly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just being that shepherd that we learned today. We're just not worthy of your compassion.
Yes, thank you.
Grateful for what you did on that cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, I ask that you put your hand on this church and just be a light in a dark place here.
Yeah, thank you, Father.
A little bit of light and respite for this area here. And cherish the the area here and the people. And Lord, we just thank you for the pastor here. Thank you for the message. Thank you that we have the opportunity to come. I ask that you bless the church as they go about their business this week. And we just pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Lord bless you.
Yeah. We appreciate it. We're not used to that.
Good. My name is Trace.
Mike. Thanks a lot for doing that.
All right.
Yeah.
One more paper.
I'll tell you. You know what?
There's a school that I started out.
Did they get that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty great game.
Well, the truth is sometimes worse.
Well, I'll see you guys soon.
All right. Well, they did something online today.
Well,
it wasn't a summit, but they were
saying we did have a meeting. Yes. The local magistrate, they basically find them to come up every month. They have to do a Zoom call and they say where they haven't decided at the federal level. Which is interesting.
Think of that. Why is anything on the national news? It's just silly. foolishness, but
they got their church, and they
pay more attention to what they're doing to the local.
Boy,
somebody's got a job over there. If he's convicted of it, he needs to be run out of office and maybe jailed. But he hasn't heard yet. Nursing homes, that is. Maybe they should get it for that.
My brother-in-law was hit with that. He went to Ohio State, was my doctor. And this young girl and her mom came in, and then they said that he did things in the office. And right away they pulled his license.
Was accused and had already penalized him without any proof of where they convicted.
Yep, it was just the girl's word against him, and they took the girl's word. Five years later, she wanted to get married, and that I happened to know about that story, and he asked her about it. She says, "Well, my mom didn't want to do that because she wanted to get money from him."
Which is not a problem. Yeah, for me. It's going to be difficult for
about 5 years, he'd given up. And they said, "Yeah, you didn't do anything to try and get your license back." He's like, "Well, that's what she did. He would have done more." So he never did practice. It's amazing.
Yes.
Takes all these people home.
I'm so glad you came to watch it.
Oh, it's.
And we'll see you in the movie time.
It'll be like a family reunion for you guys, too, right?
Yes.
And run together again.
Although we've been out to Ohio 2 weekends in a row.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.